This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, March 8th, 2026. Crossroads, the way of Jesus, cross-eyed.
Yeah, what an exciting day. What a special day. Disciple members, we're so thankful for you. Thank you, Carrie and Alan, for your support and just all that you've done to help prepare for this time that we're all living into. What an awesome time. You know, it just makes me think about God's faithfulness in all of our lives, how faithful he is through every season, through every obstacle, every change, right? And like, why do we worry? Why do we worry? But we do. We do. This is the third Sunday of Lent. It is a season of reflection and repentance that prepares us for resurrection. Easter is coming quickly. Let's go. But today in our journey on the crossroads, we're talking about something that I know very few of you will relate to. We're talking about worry. Oh, you can. Okay. Worry. We're talking about those times that we get cross-eyed because our focus gets off, or we get focused on the wrong things. And the Lord has a lot to say about worry and anxiety and fear. If you read this book, all over the place, he says, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. Jesus has so many teachings about trusting God. Don't worry, don't be anxious, because it's a very relevant part of our human experience in this fallen world. We need to hear this message. And what you're going to find is that for Jesus, a lot of it comes down to perspective and focus. When Jesus talks about worry and anxiousness and the pressures we face, so much of it comes down to our perspective and our focus. Before we dive in, let's just take a moment to pray and be receptive to God's word. Lord, we take another deep breath this morning in this house of worship, this house of prayer. We are just so thankful that we have the opportunity to come back to the center of it all. And we pray that you would prepare our hearts and minds to receive what you want to give us, Lord. Let our hearts have good soil for your word to take root and bear fruit. We just pray you'd be working in a powerful way in everybody gathered here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Speaking of perspective, have you ever thought about how amazing this creation of human eyesight is? I know some of you don't think about like random nerdy stuff like this, but I like to think about random nerdy stuff, and some of you've thought about it. You know a lot more than me. Think about how incredible this design that God has created us to, with the ability to see and experience the world like we do. You know, if you look at different creatures in the animal kingdom, not all of them see the same way, right? There's some creatures that see by heat detection, by like infrared, right? They see heat. Some creatures can see ultraviolet light. We can't see ultraviolet light, but some creatures actually see UV light. I don't know what that would look like, but I'd like to know. It'd be kind of cool. Some creatures, they have night vision. They're really good at night vision, but they don't see so great during the day. Some creatures see color. Some don't see any color at all. There's all sorts of different ways to see the world. Some creatures have like panoramic vision because their eyeballs are on the side of their head, so they can see almost 360. Wouldn't that be cool? We, as humans, the way our eyes are designed, we have the ability to see a lot of color. We see a lot more different colors than other creatures. Did you know that? Your dog sees like not a lot of color, more black and white, a lot of movement. We can see so many different colors. Our eyes have the ability to focus and see a lot of detail, which allows us to interact with the world in very specific ways. All these things that we create, the ability to read, right? So many things we can do because of the way our eyes work. We also have what's called binocular vision, which is two eyes on the front of our face looking forward. And our brains are amazing because they take these two slightly different pictures that our eyeballs can see, and they can blend it together like into one, right? You can test this. You can see how your binocular vision works and kind of experiment with your focus just by holding your finger up. You look kind of silly, but you can do it. Go and do it right now. And what happens if you hold your finger there and you're not focused on your finger? you see two fingers, right? If you just hold your finger there and you're not looking at it, there's like two fingers in front of you. It's weird. But if you focus on that finger, then you look really funny. You see one, because your brain merges these two images into one. It's amazing. Another thing that makes humans unique is not just the hardware of our eyes, but it's the software in our minds. We have the capacity for memory and for self-consciousness and imagination that goes along with all these things we see. And so we can travel to the past and we can think about things we've seen before and memories and experiences, and we can see that in our mind's eye. And we can look into the future, you know, with our imagination. We can imagine and envision all these different possibilities, things that could happen. And it's, most other creatures don't do that, but we do because of how God made us. It's really, really cool. And that capacity for thinking and imagination can be a blessing and a curse, right? It all depends on what you focus on. It depends on your perspective. Because that imagination can kind of run wild and get focused on all sorts of things that get us scared, worried, anxious, afraid. The famous Christian philosopher Blaise Pascal, he wrote, "All humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone." He wrote that in 1654. So many issues come from getting our lives out of focus, from our inability to just be still and be content and reflect on what's really true and really real. So many issues come down to our perspective. And this is where Jesus comes in. Last week, we looked at Jesus' teachings on forgiveness, and we touched upon some things he said in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is like the largest recorded sermon we have of Jesus. It's probably his most famous teaching. If you open up to Matthew chapters 5 to 7, that's all the Sermon on the Mount. And another part of the Sermon on the Mount we look at today, Jesus talks about our worry. And he gives us perspective on that. So we're looking at Matthew 6, 25 to 34. On your own, you can read the entire passage. He has a lot of cool things to say, but I'm just going to read you some selected verses so we can dig into his teachings on worry and anxiousness. Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Have you heard that before? Anybody else just get like frustrated by that? When somebody says like, "Don't worry about your life." And you're like, "Yeah, but I mean, look at all this stuff." Like, leave it to Jesus to be so simple and profound at the same time, to be, so freeing and frustrating and easy and hard at the same time. Like, Jesus just says these things that are so clear and so true. And you go, "I know, but like, it's really hard, Jesus." Like, it's one thing for you to say, Jesus. Anybody else feel like that sometimes? I hear these words. I've heard them so many times. And I'm going, "Lord, yes, I know it's true. I want that kind of life. I know what you're saying is true, Jesus. But Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I trust you, but help me not to worry." We looked at this before in our series last fall, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and we talked about this word. Jesus uses the word, "Do not worry," and that word is the Greek word merimnao, for worry, and it means anxious, care, worry, concern. Sometimes in the New Testament, it's used in a positive way. There's things where it's kind of talking to us, we should have a concern for like our brothers and sisters and their well-being. But a lot of times it's used in a negative sense when we get anxious about things. And it actually, this word for worry has the connotation of like being pulled apart, being drawn in opposite directions. You know that conflictedness you feel when you're just kind of anxious about stuff? It's like going to pieces. And I think that's such a powerful description of what anxiousness feels like, isn't it? It just gets us distracted within. We feel like fragmented. We feel unable to kind of focus and be present with one thing. We feel divided. We feel torn. We're pulled apart by competing concerns and desires and allegiances instead of being whole, wholehearted and centered and grounded on what really matters, the one thing that really matters. You know what that feels like, right? You probably have heard the story of Jesus visiting the home of these two sisters, Martha and Mary. It's in Luke chapter 10. You remember Jesus showed up at their home with his disciples and they hosted the great teacher, the Lord Jesus. And Mary, the one sister, she broke protocol for women because she went into the space where the men were traditionally gathered and their, you know, disciples gathered with Jesus. And she went right in with them. And she sat among them as a fellow disciple, a fellow student of the rabbi. And she sat there at Jesus' feet. And Jesus did not say to her, no, 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 that's not where you're supposed to be. You go where you're, nope. He let her sit there and he poured into her and she listened to every word. She soaked it up. But of course, her sister Martha, she's now having to do the hosting alone and preparing this meal, preparing all this for these honored guests, probably the most important guests she's ever had in her home. And she's getting kind of frustrated, naturally, because her sister's supposed to be helping her. And she finally gets worked up and comes to Jesus, you know, and confronts them. And what does Jesus say? Martha, Martha. David, David. Fill in your name. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is necessary. Back to Matthew 6. It sounds a lot like when Jesus says in that teaching we read earlier, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That sounds like the one thing to me. It's the one thing. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. It's not that the other things don't matter. You know, life and survival and needs, food, clothing, desires and longings that we have, like God sees, God knows, God cares. But he says, don't worry. Don't get anxious and torn apart by all these things. The only thing you need to worry about, focus on, his kingdom, his presence, his righteousness, his truth. There's only one who created all of this. There's only one who gives us breath. There's only one who knows the number of our days and holds it all in his hands. There's only one who can save us. There's only one who spoke and something came from nothing. And you and I came into being. There's only one. There's only one thing that you really need to live the life that you long to live, that you're created to live. All these other things, they will come. And you're not in control of a lot of them anyway. How much worry do we spend about things we can't even control, right? So Jesus says, it's only one thing. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I'll take care of you. When I'm at my best, I'm a person of one thing. Wholehearted, undivided. I'm a pastor of one thing. When I'm at my best and I can keep my focus on the kingdom of heaven and I walk in his peace because I know who my Father in heaven is, I know who I am, I know that I have a creator and a redeemer and the Lord of all who is my shepherd, so I don't have to worry no matter what comes. When I'm at my best. But I confess, A lot of times I worry. A lot of times I let all those things, that never-ending to-do list, that sense of pressure to perform, sense of responsibilities, that all the unfinished business and the stuff here and there and everywhere, the stuff on the outside and the stuff on the inside, I get pulled apart. If I'm not intentional with my perspective and my pace, I get pulled into all the other stuff. And it can get to the point where it's like this current that pulls me in, and I feel like I don't have control over my attitude anymore. I'm just pulled into that chaos. Do you know what that feels like? You know what I'm talking about? But it just takes one word from Jesus, one touch of his grace to restore heaven's perspective and restore my focus. The challenge is whether I have the courage and the will to slow down and quiet down long enough to hear his voice and see his perspective. And recognize that he will provide what I need for this moment. To hear him say, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. You can't add a single hour to your life by worrying and stressing over it. Be here. Be right now with me. Because I'm giving you grace for this moment. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch evangelist, and she was a Holocaust survivor. And she tells the great story about how her father taught her to deal with worry and anxiety. When she was a young girl, she experienced some difficult things, and she went through a season of crushing anxiety about the future. She feared about what would happen, if her father died and left her alone, or what would happen, if how she would face, trials that might come or persecution that might come and all sorts of things. It's amazing to think about this story when you think about what happened later in her life as an adult. You can read about her story in The Hiding Place. But she talks about this story as a young girl when one night she confessed to her father, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm not going to be strong enough when something bad happens. I'm afraid of what's coming. And her father just sat down on the edge of her bed and paused, and with such wisdom and love, he said, Corrie, when we take the train to Amsterdam and you join me for work, when do I give you your train ticket? And she goes, well, right before we get on the train, that's when you give me my ticket. And he said, exactly. And it's the same way with God's grace. God doesn't give us the grace we need for the trial that's coming 10 years from now, or the thing that's coming 10 days from now. He gives you the grace you need for this moment, for what's in front of you right now. God gives you the grace to handle what you're facing right now. That's when he gives you that grace. And when the time comes and something else comes, he gives you grace for that. But you don't have to worry about tomorrow's problem and God's answer to it. He'll give you your ticket exactly when you need it. He always does. We don't have to worry about what's coming down the road. We just have to seek God's grace for the troubles of today. Jesus said, today's enough for today. Today is more than enough. I can get all worked up about all the unfinished business, all the stuff, all the little big things, and I miss what's right in front of me. I miss what's right in front of me. Even the blessings, the goodness, and the beauty of what's right in front of me, I can miss it because I'm pulled apart by all these other things. I consistently need God's help to readjust my focus and my perspective. And this is something we have to learn. In this fallen world, fear and anxiousness come naturally to us, but God's peace is this supernatural grace that we can learn to live by and lean on daily. And no matter how many times we get off track, we can get right back on the crossroads with Jesus and let him transform our perspective, change our focus, transform us by the renewing of our mind. And when we let his peace be what guides our perspective, when we seek the one thing, it changes how we see the world around us. It changes how we see our lives. A couple days ago, the kids had just gotten on the bus. I was alone in the house. I was kind of getting ready to go out the door. I had a lot of things on my mind. My to-do list was huge. I felt like I had too much to do. I was already feeling overwhelmed. And I go to the kitchen, and I see just this like breakfast chaos mess. There's crumbs everywhere. And I was like, man, I just cleaned up the kitchen last night after dinner. What are these kids doing? Holy smokes. Wow. And so, you know, I grabbed the trusty Black & Decker hand vac, and I just start vacuuming it up and getting it all clean. I'm huffing and puffing. You know how you huff and puff when you have to do this stuff? And I'm like vacuuming in the corners and on the counters and underneath the chairs and in places I didn't think corner crumbs could go. And there's the walls and the ceiling. I'm everywhere. And I'm just, you kids. And then I'm pretty sure it was God. I think it was his voice. He disrupted my little whatever that was. And he said, maybe you should thank God for these crumbs. Because these crumbs are the aftermath of some blessings that you should be ridiculously grateful for. These crumbs mean that you have a house with happy, healthy, lively kids that feel safe and taken care of. These crumbs mean that you have cupboards that are full of food, more than you need. And so I started thanking God for these crumbs. And by the end of it, I was thanking God for these crumbs. I believed it more than half. I was thanking God. He changed my perspective. He displaced my stressful striving with peace and dependence and trust and perspective. What's true? When we walk the crossroads with Jesus, he changes how we see things. And it allows us to find peace in the midst of all the noise and in the midst of a lot of different circumstances and gratitude in the midst of the troubles and to see his kingdom as the one thing that is necessary that can never, ever be taken away. And we need that so deeply in this world right now. The perspective of his truth and the focus on his kingdom. Stephanie's going to play a song to finish our time today and to give us a little bit of an opportunity to quiet and to refocus. What are you going to do this week and throughout this Lenten season to renew your focus on the one thing that matters most? Take this moment to release all the noisy thoughts, all the worries, cast your cares, to lay the burdens down of the things that haven't happened yet, that may never happen, or you don't know when they'll happen, and the things that you can't control, and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him say to you, don't worry about tomorrow. Hear Jesus saying that to you. Today is enough. Receive his grace for this day, this moment, and place your focus fully on him.
Here we go again, my mind racing, and I can't seem to win all these crazy thoughts and feelings. It's like it never ends until your voice breaks through my noise. I know I'm not alone. I'm not alone. You will fight my battles if Why would I keep running when you're right here? I'll just be quiet and let you speak through the silence. Here I am, no more hiding. You are in this moment, I won't fight it. I'll be quiet. Don't need to know what comes next, for tomorrow's in your hands. I can trust you with my future, 'cause you're already there, and I hear your voice call me forward, and I know I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I wanna hear what's true. The only words that matter, they come from you. I'll just be quiet and let you speak through the silence. Here I am, no more hiding. You are in this moment, I won't fight it. I'll be quiet. I'll just be quiet and let you speak in the silence. Here I am, no more hiding. You are in this moment, I won't fight it. I'll be quiet.
Let the peace that surpasses understanding fill your hearts and minds. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Spirit of God, we pray you'd continue to minister to every precious soul gathered here today. Grace, grace for this moment, for this struggle, for this blessing. Grace to see what you've put right in front of us. Not to be pulled apart anymore, but to be whole. Centered, grounded on the ground that cannot be shaken. God, I pray that chains would fall off in this place, chains of fear and anxiousness. I pray in the name of Jesus that your power would chase away the evil one who lies to us, who gets us spun up on all these false ways of thinking, and you would just clear the air of all the evil that the enemy is trying to bring at us. Give us freedom in Christ. Freedom to walk one day at a time, trusting you, our Father in heaven. We are not alone. We are not orphans. We are adopted children of God. Our Father has us. Bless your children today, God, and transform us by the renewing of our mind. In the name of Jesus. Church, let's rise as we are able and worship Him.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life He offers.